We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a good day. I'm excited. How about you?
Not doing too bad. Some big news. Big news.
Giant news.
Giant news.
Yeah.
Huge news. Nah. It's good enough. It's good. So it's what we've been hoping for, right? It's
what partly.
Depth.
People absolutely.
That. People don't like minor league deals anymore, but it's depth. It works, right?
Yeah, minor league deals are very essential to being a good major league team. Without these, it's very hard to be a good team. So I think it's good, but there's still some minor league deals I would like them to get. Obviously, in the starting pitching world, I would like to get some minor league deals, but hey, at least we start with the relievers, which is huge. And yeah, that's good. We've seen two minor league signings in the last couple of years, and they paid off. Cishek was serviceable in the bullpen for the Angels. Tony Watson ended up becoming a trade chip in July. So, I mean, it's still possible that these guys could pay off. And who knows, maybe they turn out to be really good big leaguers. And, you know, we've seen it from other teams. I think we've seen some other teams sign minor league deals. And those guys to be like big, big players to get them to the playoffs. So not saying that that's going to happen here, but still good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those of you who might live under a rock or don't know what we're talking about, the Angels signed two minor league relievers, ex-major league, former major leaguers, not ex because they don't they still play, but Chris Devinsky and Jonathan Holder, if those names sound familiar, I'm sure they have terrorized the Angels in the past as they played for the Yankees and the Houston Astros. Devinsky the Astros, Holder the Yankees. So Nate, I feel like we need to go ahead and break down a little bit of this. I know it's not too crazy, but pitching is our expertise, and we do see some things maybe with some of these guys. So what do you want to start, Devinsky or Holder?
Well, let's start with the SoCal kid, the Cal State Fullerton native, Chris Devinsky. How about we go there? I like the numbers with him. I know the ERA and all those things, it's going to scream at a bunch of Angel people and be like, wow, what the heck are we signing? And, you know, I mean, I think that's very normal for, especially for Angel fans to look at that and be like, ooh. But there were some encouraging things with Devinsky. His fastball velo got back, and he's always had the really good changeup, which is nice. He's pitched in the AL West before. He's pitched in competitive games as well, pitching for the Astros when they were one of the best teams in baseball. Still are one of the best teams in baseball. But he was on those teams, so I don't mind it. I think that at worst, he doesn't make the team and he sits in AAA and he pitches there and hopefully he throws well. And with an injury or two, he's on the big league roster. But best case scenario, he pitches good in spring training and he ends up in the bullpen for the Angels pitching, you know, in that sixth, seventh inning. He could easily put up Ryan Tepera numbers for seven times less the money. Had to throw that out there.
Yeah, you just like comparing that stuff, don't you?
I do, because you're a Ryan Tepera guy, and I think he's vastly overpaid.
That's fine. I don't disagree that he is overpaid for sure. You know, if he goes back to his form, but we're not talking about that. Yeah, Devinsky, what you mentioned before, 2019, his average fastball velo was 94.8, 2020, 92.9, 2021, 91.4. I'm sure a lot of people thought maybe, you know, even Devinsky thought his career was over. Once you drop average velo like that, it means you're probably sitting 90, 92, maybe a little more than that, 91, 93-ish. And then last year, the velo jumped back up 94.4. So basically back to what he was before with the Houston Astros. You mentioned the really, really good changeup in his career. He's thrown that 36% of the time. Really disgusting changeup, by the way. I'm super excited to see it. Big funk guy myself. I love the funk. I think it's, you know, the open up early. He really, it's very Patrick Sandoval-esque from the right side, if that makes sense. I know you guys probably won't understand what that means, but from a pitching standpoint, I think it's very similar to that, which makes the changeup really, really good on that part. And of course, if the fastball velo has any indication, this is a very interesting signing, a good signing, especially at a minor league deal. I know a lot of people talked about dumpster diving and all that stuff. No, these are players that the Angels need. They have a track record of being on good teams as well. That's huge. So yeah, and of course, SoCal kid, Cal State Fullerton kid, it's always good to get some of those guys back. I know Kurt Suzuki's not around, Lorenzen isn't either, but yeah, I wonder if they probably play on the same team, huh?
Lorenzen, Devinsky and Lorenzen were close. Yeah. I don't know exactly. I would think that they cross paths barely. I'll check into that.
Freshman junior type of thing. So yeah, and then of course, the Angels. Obviously,
you start with Holder and I'll get into the Devinsky.
Of course. Former Yankee, was with the Cubs last two seasons. I really wanted the Angels to pick him up after 2020 when the Yankees non-tendered him. Jonathan Holder, he's been hurt the past two seasons, hasn't pitched at the major league level since 2020 with the Yankees. But of course, anytime you can get an ex-Yankee, I feel like it's a good thing. Anytime you can get an ex-Yankee or an ex-Astro too, I feel like it's a good thing. Same thing with the Dodgers. I mean, we mentioned this before. Those guys, again, just I feel like bring winning into the clubhouse, and it becomes very, very fun and very, very interesting. There won't be too much velo on Holder, so we can't really compare that. However, probably going to be 90. You know, probably 91, 93, probably can touch 94 at times. He's got the slider. He throws the cutter as well, the curveball, and again, the changeup, which is really good. So one thing that the Angels have done really good last year was produce a second or almost third pitch as well. So, you know, we know that these guys have two, you know, decently good secondary pitches in the changeup, and also I feel like Holder is the splitter. With looking at his velo, he threw his changeup at 87.3 miles an hour, and his fastball velo was 92 miles an hour. So I have a feeling it's a splitter. Vangraphs will say it's a changeup, of course, but yeah, did you get anything on that while I mumble away?
Davinsky was, it looked like Davinsky and Lorenzen were 2 years apart, so they probably they played on the same team. Yeah, maybe even sophomore, senior type of thing, but
yeah. Give me your Jonathan Holder, man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about Jonathan Holder. I have very similar things as you to say, where when the Yankees non-tendered him after the injury, I thought he was an interesting name. Didn't know how long the injury was going to be. It ended up being an entire year before he really got back on the bump. And then last year he pitched in the minor leagues for the Cubs and struggled a little bit. But I think the Angels, you know, worst case, like we said, he sits in AAA and can do some things down there. But I'm looking at some other high-priced relievers that there was an interesting stat with Holder. His barrel percentage was about 8%, okay? You're looking at Rafael Montero. He's right around that 7%, and he just got paid closer money to be a 7th or 8th inning guy with the Astros. I'm not saying that Jonathan Holder is going to be Rafael Montero. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that when Holder was right and when he was pitching good, when his shoulder felt good, he was a very good 7th inning guy. Like, he was a guy that the Yankees turned to in situations where it was like, hey, our starter went 6 and we need somebody to get out of this jam. Holder, come on in and get this thing done. So he has a shot to be on the big league roster and has a shot to pitch really well. The biggest thing for him is going to be how's his arm, how's his shoulder. That's always a scary injury, whether it's arm, shoulder, anything. Like, it's always tough to see how that comes back. But that's going to be the biggest thing. And then the second thing is going to be, you know, velo. And I know velo is not the end-all be-all, but if his velo is around 92, 94, which is what he traditionally is, he's definitely going to compete for a job. If his velo is right around the 89, 91 range, he's probably not going to make this team. So that's going to be the biggest thing to look at in spring training, is what's his velo look like. But, you know, when he was really good with the Yankees, his barrel percentage was pretty good, and he had some really good numbers on the Statcast. So I'm interested in him. I like him. I'm just hoping the Angels can do this on a starting pitching market, where they can go get one or two of these type of guys and just build, so that way we have some insurance if somebody gets hurt, because somebody always gets hurt, whether it's a starter or a reliever.
Yeah, I mean, the Angels were the most healthy starting pitching core, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Or bullpen, if I'm not mistaken. I think the starting staff
was... No, I think it was starting staff, right, because... Yeah, the bullpen got a little banged up. You know, Warren got the freak incident with the line drive off the nose in Boston during BP. And yeah. There were some other injuries that guys missed maybe a week here, week there. But, like, for the most part, when you think about the big league rotation, Ohtani took the ball basically every time out. Sandoval took the ball every time out. Detmers took the ball every time out, except for when he got sent down. It was not based on injury. It was based on performance. Same thing with Suarez. Lorenzo was the only guy who really got banged up. Thor took the ball every time out too. So, and then when Tucker Davidson came over, like, he didn't have injury issues. So Lorenzo was basically the only one who got hurt. Everyone else either weren't pitching good enough and got sent down, or they made basically every start they had.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get on to our next thing that we want to talk about, this really shows, and this is something that the Angels have missed in the past, and I never really thought about it. This really shows that the Angels are starting to show other teams and show other players and show other agents that they are being able to develop guys and almost, you know, revitalize players' careers too, which is really good for the Angels. It's something that the Angels hadn't been able to do for a long time. And I think that's one of the reasons why they never were able to get, you know, these type of guys, the Jonathan Holders, the Chris Davinskys, like, that have been on good teams that are looking to revitalize their careers. The former, I don't think Holder was ever an all-star, and I don't think Davinsky might have been an all-star 1 year. But however, you know, you look at those guys and they've been good back-end pieces in bullpens, and This is something that the Angels just haven't been able to do lately. And I feel like last year, with the way the Angels were able to, you know, produce a secondary, a third pitch with some of these guys, some of these veterans that are looking to revitalize their career might take a chance with the Angels instead of going to Tampa, instead of going to the Dodgers to revitalize their career, you know, instead of going to the Yankees. So
Vinsky was an all-star 1 year. I believe he had like an ERA under 2 at the break and was just ridiculous. And I think that was like one of the first years where the non-closer was kind of an all-star thing. So,
yeah.
And I think you bring up a good point. Like a lot of these guys look to the Dodgers, they look to the Rays, they look to some of those type of teams to revitalize careers. And you can even throw the Braves into that mix right now as well. But a lot of people want to talk about the Dodgers and say, oh my gosh, look at what they do. But nobody wants to talk about the moves. Like Max Muncy was a nobody. Like they claimed him off of waivers. Like it wasn't like, oh man, we developed Max Muncy and you know we turned this guy into a superstar. No, like he was a nobody. Chris Taylor was a top prospect with the Mariners, could not hit. And they made a small trade where they traded one of their pitchers who wasn't good and they got Chris Taylor in return. And all of a sudden Chris Taylor starts to hit. So Tommy Canley was in the same position as Jonathan Holder was, coming off an injury, had to sit out a year, comes back and pitches really well for them. And he's probably going to get a big league deal because of what he did. So the Dodgers have done these kind of things and the Yankees have done these kinds of things, the Rays have done these kinds of things, and it's worked out for them. And those are the teams that have been in the playoffs. Those are the teams that have been winning games. Can the Angels take that next step and turn some of these minor league deals into major league players? And not just major league players, but difference makers. They don't need to be, you know, all-stars, but they got to be guys that are better than average. You know, we want to see a minor league free agent offensive piece turn into a 100, 105 WRC plus. We want to see, you know, one of these relievers put up a FIP of under 3.5. And can they do that? I don't know. But if they can, this is going to be a really fun organization going forward.
Yeah, it's a good test. It's a good test to see what the Angels are doing and can really, like, prove what Perry's doing. You know, I think it kind of might – I don't know if secure is a job moving forward, but you know, if you're able to revitalize some careers, I mean, even look at Michael Lorenzen's a perfect example before he got hurt. I mean, the stuff has always been there. It's always been, you know, 94, 95, 96, 97 with run, a good slider and a good changeup, but you know, it didn't seem like, I don't know if the Reds never used him correctly. I don't know if they ever developed him, but he really, you know, before he got hurt was one of the Angels' better pitchers. I know, you know, a lot of people won't agree with that, but you know, you look at what he was able to do and the Angels just kind of put him in the right spots. I thought, you know, they didn't want him to be an ace. They wanted him to just go out there and pitch 5-6 innings every start. And, you know, if you can give us under 2-3 earned runs, you know, like, and try your best to get a quality start, which I know quality starts are whatever nowadays, but it felt
those things are huge. Yeah. Quality starts are huge. Nobody wants to talk about that. Quality starts are very, very important.
All right. Stay focused.
It's true though. I mean, if you can go out there every fifth day and go 6 innings and give up 3 runs or less, you've given your team a chance to win every single time you go out there.
And you'll find big league jobs everywhere you go.
That's why I thought Framber's year was so impressive, because that dude went out there and had a quality start almost every single outing.
Yep.
And it just shortens the game. It allows the bullpen to rest up. It's very, very important.
And it felt that way when Lorenzen pitched last year, didn't it? It was like, if Lorenzen can get the Angels to this fifth, the sixth, to the seventh inning, which he did, you know, every 50% of his starts, which I know doesn't seem great, but like every other start, it felt like he was able to get to the fifth, sixth, seventh inning. It felt like the game shortened up. The Angels had the lead and they were able to, you know, at least work their way in the back of the bullpen. I know it didn't seem like that at the beginning of the season when they went on that drought, but like, I really like Lorenzen and I wouldn't mind him back. I know we've been there before, but let's move on. Let's get rolling a little bit more here. Tis the season, Nate. We just skipped over Black Friday. We just skipped over Cyber Monday. We want to talk about a little bit of not really dumpster diving, but some good deals that the Angels could make this holiday season.
Black Friday shopping.
I think that you and I have pulled a couple names out of the hat. I don't know. You want to go 1-1-1-1 here? I don't know how many you got.
Yeah,
got
that's fine. Go ahead.
Cool.
I got a lot too, but you know, we'll keep it to about 4 each. And, you know, I think we'll talk about one guy at the end because we have one guy that is the same.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll start. I'm going to start with, since you got me, I'll start with Joey Gallo. I know he's not going to get a minor league deal by any means. Did you pick Gallo by chance?
No.
I'm going to go with Joey Gallo. I know the Angels don't need another outfielder. However, he can play some first base. There is no shift next year. And, you know, he's going to probably get close to a minor league deal. I think he's going to get a major league deal somewhere. But the fact that he can play first base, the fact that he can play a little bit in the outfield as well, actually, he's probably a better outfielder, really pretty good defender. And again, that shift thing is huge. And you hope for 40 home run, 50 home run upside. You know, he's going to swing and miss 33% of the time or whatever it is. One out of every three at bats is going to be a strikeout. But, you know, one out of every three at bats could also be a home run. And again, did I mention first base? Outfield, he's versatile. He can play he can play different positions, and he can play center field too if you need him to. I believe in a pinch he's that
We've
good
seen it.
So that's not my number one guy, but I do think that, you know, if you're looking for a cheap deal, that might be it, and somebody who's a step below a Cody Bellinger type guy too.
Yeah, I agree. So this is not in any particular order for me as well, but I am going to start with someone who I think could make a big deal for the Angels, because Max Stassi makes a lot of money, and if somebody wants to trade for Max Stassi, I know he's coming off a very bad offensive year, but he's still pretty good behind the dish. Typically, I know last year, again, not his best year defensively, but if somebody wants to trade something for him, even if it's a relief pitcher or a young kid that they can turn something into, I think Roberto Perez, a catcher who's been with the Indians, he's been with the Pirates, I believe, last year, he has done a really good job at being a good defensive catcher. You're not going to hit a lot with him, but he's a veteran that can really teach Ohapi a lot of things. Hey, this is the way to call a game. This is really what it looks like to be a professional catcher and do this every single day. So I think that guy could be a big time guy, a better version of Kurt Suzuki, because I know you loved Kurt Suzuki last year and his leadership. I think Roberto Perez could be a much better offensive piece than Kurt Suzuki and 10 times as good defensively. So I think he could be, I don't know if he's a minor league deal, but he might be like a 1 year, two mil, maybe 3 mil at the most, which saves you 4 or 5 million from what Stassi's making.
Yeah. I've always liked Perez. I thought the Angels, he was always a trade target for me when the Angels needed a catcher with Cleveland. Cause Cleveland always had a couple guys there. And Perez always kind of flew under the radar. So, yeah, I like that. My next guy, I'm going to actually kind of pair these guys if that's okay. Michael Lorenzen is another guy. I know I just mentioned him, and Trevor Williams, two very similar pitchers. Both can start, both can come out of the pen, whatever kind of you need from them. Trevor Williams had a really good year with the Mets. Of course, we already talked to Michael Lorenzen. We know what he can do. Both guys that aren't going to probably get more than, you know, that 1 for 3, 1 for 5 type of thing. I think, I know Lorenzen's probably going to want to start.
Lorenzen could get like 8.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying though. I mean, yeah, these guys for sure can be on a cheaper deal, if not maybe a minor league deal for all we know. I think both these guys are going to want to start. However, both these guys can also pitch out of the pen and can probably do it and can do it pretty well too. So those are my next two guys. I'm going to give you a chance to go one here.
I'll go with the same type of player. Another guy who could start, come out of the pen. He's been on two playoff teams, and that's Ross Stripling. He had a really good year with Toronto last year. I think he would get a relatively cheap contract. He's not going to break the bank. You're not going to have to give him 15 plus mil like some of these other guys that are, you know, could put up similar numbers to what Stripling did. And the cool thing about Stripling with the Dodgers, he had years where, you know, his ERA is in the threes. With the Blue Jays, he had another good year last year. And he's just one of those guys where it's like, hey, if you need to, we'll put you in the pen. If we need a guy to spot start, we can spot start you. And if you need to start all the time, you can do that too. So I like him as well with a relatively cheap deal.
Yep. And I want to give two more guys here before we get to our last guy. I know we've talked about him before, Joe Ross. That'd be a fun one to have. Went over, I believe, in the Trey Turner, Will Myers deal, if I'm not mistaken, to Washington. Never really, you know, was hurt, never really got a shot there with the Nationals. And then I'd love to see Jackie Bradley Jr. on a minor league deal playing in Salt Lake. I don't know if he takes that or not, but I think that would be a lot of fun. I think he's a great character, a great leader to have. And he's been, you know, he's been in the big spots before. So there might be a couple other Angels minor leaguers down there that could really learn a lot from him. So I know the last guy that we want to talk about, Nate, I'll let you talk about him since I just talked about my last two. Well, they're on both. He's on both our lists. It'd be a real fun one to sign. So go ahead, take it away.
real quick, Brandon Belt was on my list that I just wanted to add in there. Another lefty back, could play first base, has played the outfield before, probably not an outfielder, but he could play first base. He's been on a winning team. That's the common theme with me. Been on winning teams, been locker room presence on winning teams. So I think that's a big deal. The shift goes away as well. Maybe you get him a little bit better of a hitter-friendly park in Anaheim than in San Francisco, and maybe he hits 20, 25 bombs, especially if Walsh isn't ready or if Walsh gets moved. So,
I mean, winning, to be fair, winning's been a theme all around. I think we've talked to Zach Neto. We talked to Ben Joyce. We talked anybody that was in Rocket City. We talked to them about this, you know, so.
Yeah. Winning solves a lot of problems. So yep. The last guy that you and I both had on the same list, again, he was on a winning team this year. He was on the Phillies, Kyle Gibson. He's just a professional. You know, he's been on the Twins when the Twins were in the playoffs as well. Just a professional pitcher, not gonna complain, just going to go out there and do his job. Was left off the playoff roster. You didn't hear him complain. There was no Aroldis Chapman, you know, meltdowns from him. And just, he's a gamer. You know, he's going to take the ball and he's going to work to get you 5-6 innings every single time out. He's not one of those guys who's going to sit there and be like, oh, my arms hurt or I'm sore or this and that. Like, this guy's going to go out there and put it all on the line every single day and just do what he can to help this team win. I think that's the one cool thing about him. He's been an ace before, not a quality ace, not like a true number one, but he's been there where he's had to be the team's number one pitcher. And he did it in Texas. He did it in Minnesota. And, you know, I think it would just be really interesting to see what he's worth. The thing that is kind of frustrating, the Pirates just reached out to him and they seem to be really interested in him. So probably not a guy that's going to get a minor league deal, but who knows? Maybe he gets a minor league deal. Maybe he gets 1 year, $2, $3, $4, $5 million in incentive based deal or something like that. But he's a really interesting guy and he's pitched a lot of big games.
I think he gets a little bit more than that. I think he gets close to the $10 million range, but
you've seen his numbers last year.
I know. But here's the reason why I think he gets closer to that. I don't think he gets 10 mil, but I think he gets a little closer to that 6, 7, 8. Six of the last 8 years, not including 2020, the shortened season, he's pitched 160 plus innings. So he's a guy you can rely on. He's been in winning situations. You mentioned that before. Nate, big thing for us here before we let everybody go. This wasn't a negative podcast for any of us here.
No. And I think the other big thing that we brought up is like all these guys have winning backgrounds. And I think that's a big deal with the Angels trying to change the culture and what they do. And instead of just being okay with being average, they want to be better than average. And if they continue to get better every single day, then who knows, maybe they end up in the playoffs and we're getting excited about Shohei Ohtani making his first playoff start. And, you know, Mike Trout, hopefully looking for that first playoff win.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to see the Angels in the playoffs. I think, you know, everybody we've had on the show wants to see the Angels in the playoffs. So guys, as always, thank you so much for listening and watching this podcast here at Talkin' Halos, again, making us the best Angels podcast out there. We do appreciate all the support. I'm going to throw this out there as well. We got TalkinHalos.com. We're looking for some writers. If anybody wants to write, shoot me a message on Twitter, Jared_Tims. You can shoot us a message on Twitter at Talking Halos as well if you want. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34, of course myself at Jared_Tims. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.